welcome to episode 13 of Flippers Always Win. I am your host, Flip. I hope you don't have any triskaidekaphobia, because this is going to be a fun episode. We have the first of two roundtables to finish out the season. We're going to hop right into that. But first, a few weeks ago, I decided that we didn't have enough counter space to properly chop vegetables and prepare food. In the way, on one part of the counter, was an old coffee maker, an espresso, that it didn't seem like Julia had used in a long time. And so I said to her, hey, can we maybe move this coffee maker? And I was met with a little bit of resistance at first, but pretty quickly an understanding that this would be a good thing for us. And then over the Thanksgiving break, I saw my good friend Artie Sadler, who is an extremely talented professional bassist. And I relayed this story to Artie, and he took a liking to it. You should all follow him on Instagram at hoojiking_is_sound. He recently put out an EP that you can purchase at hoojiking.bandcamp.com, because you're going to like what you hear next.
Well, I need some counter space. I got a toaster and a blender, that's all right in my face. This coffee machine ain't worked since Neil Armstrong went to space. But darling, please give me, won't you give me just a bit of counter space?
Counter space,
counter space,
counter space,
counter space,
counter space,
counter space,
space,
space, space, space. Now that's a clean kitchen.
Wow.
All right. Well, we have a very special group of people on today. Everybody has been on the podcast previously, some more than others, Julia. But we are doing a roundtable on part one of the Survivor finale. And with us today, we have said Julia.
Hi, I am Julia, your social media expert.
Deep dive based on social media expert.
Yes, thank you for that. I am also a co-cat parent with Flip over here. So that is my tie to this.
Thank you so much. We're going to have Avery come on and reintroduce herself.
Hello, I'm Avery. Flippers Always Win made it into my Spotify Wrapped. So big props to Daniel for a very fun podcast.
Who is Daniel?
Oh my God, Flip and his mini cats. But yes, it was in my Spotify Wrapped. So big fan.
Thank you, Avery. Ashwin, you've been on a couple times now, number three.
Yeah, hi, I'm Ashwin. That was actually going to be my fun fact. So thanks for stealing it. My third appearance. I hope I don't disappoint.
I'm sure you won't, or maybe you will. Jessica, the newest Survivor fan here. Maybe I stole your fact too.
Well, thank you. I did not have a fact, so that is my fact. Hi, I'm Jessica. I am the newest Survivor fan here. I'm excited to be back.
Thank you. And then finally, last but not least, Steven and Ted, the dynamic duo from episode six.
Hey, this is Steven here.
Hey, Ted here.
Our fun fact is we know Scott, the number one fan of Flippers Always Win. So yeah, we're the only people that actually know him in person.
We're the put-ons to an iconic fan.
Yeah, Avery, you're here. Jessica, you're here. Scott, you're here. You're listening. So thanks, Scott. We'll have to have a debate on that later. Maybe that's the next podcast. Thank you so much to everybody for coming on. The way that we're going to do this today on this roundtable, six questions, three for each of the final six and final five cycles of the past episode. And one person will get one question each to start off on, and then we'll do an open discussion. So let's not waste any more time here. We're going to start with Julia. On last week's episode of Flippers Always Win, you correctly predicted that Teenie would flip on Rachel. Why do you think she decided Rachel needed to go after Operation Italy, where Rachel was blindsided and Andy was the one who made himself the huge target? Why Rachel now?
And we talked a little bit about this, Flip, after we watched last week's episode. I think Teenie is the true Flipper. I mean, she And everyone was kind of like, oh, Andy's a flipper, which he does keep flipping. But Teeny, she wants to be with the majority. She just keeps flitting from one group to the next. She wants to be in control of the game, but she's not really making any moves herself. So she just wants to align herself with whoever she thinks is in control. I think that's why she went after Rachel and not Andy, even though Andy would have been the clear threat after that move. I think that she saw that Andy, Sam, and Genevieve were kind of running the game at that point, and she wanted to align herself with that.
And do you think that made sense for her game at the time? I mean, it makes sense moving forward, but you're basically making yourself number four out of a four person group who's all done things, and then you're just there.
Well, I guess with Caroline gone, she would have been number three of Sue, Rachel, Teeny. I just think that in her mind, she figured there was going to be a way for them to stay in control, them being Andy, Sam, and Genevieve. And she didn't want to be the next person picked off. So she would rather be fourth than sixth, I guess, in her mind. I think that she's just kind of prolonging her life in this game, but she's not. I don't think she has what it takes to win.
Julia, great points on Teeny here. We see right after elimination that she goes into the darkness with the prevailing votes and immediately conforms alliance to them, even though all three of them are lying straight to her face. She just can't read it. Sam said himself, if you want information to flow in this game, it goes through Teeny. I told Flip on our podcast that I saw her as the person I didn't expect to win. And I said for two reasons, either she gets out in fire or no one votes for her at the end. And it's looking to be that this is the case.
I feel like she never had like solid footing in the game. It seems like before she was like close with like Keyshawn or Soul. And then like that Keyshawn vote when she didn't even have a vote pre-merge. You saw how emotional she was when her only ally Soul was voted out. I just think she never had like stability and footing in the game, and she kept trying to find that. So she kept going to where the votes were, because based on the last vote, that's where the stability was. And she just like could sadly like never find that. Maybe she had a different starting tribe, different starting dynamic, she would have been a different player, but she just seems like never had a good solid ally that she could 100% depend on.
Teeny's been pretty funny on Twitter. Big Twitter guy here. At one point, yeah, Steven knows. At one point, I think within the past week, Teeny said, guys, you have no idea how important it was to me to have won the Fishy Award in week one, which that's an award that another show gives out for basically the MVP of the week. She said, you have no idea how much it meant to me to win that, because I knew that I would not be winning it ever again based on her gameplay. So she's pretty self-aware after the game. One thing that I listened back to when we did our Teeny deep dive in week one, we said her self-awareness doesn't match her confidence. Do you feel like her self-awareness is the issue with her game, or the lack of it? Or is it something else that at the core of her game is the reason that she's not doing well?
I think it's interesting because Sam and Teeny are both 24, which like they're the two youngest players left. And Teeny even talked in the show about like how she's like questioning her gender and like kind of finding herself. So I think it's reflecting a lot of like her personal, like, who am I, that like she never really like picked a side and like drove, you know, the way she wanted to go. Whereas Sam is like, even though he's also 24, like pretty, you know, he's a dude, right? Very dudely dude. He just kind of like knows what he thinks about things. And I think that helped him kind of just be more secure in like the decisions he was making. And Gotta, you know, at the beginning was very much so sort of like jocks and nerds kind of division a little bit. Whereas Lava was like so random, the mix, that Teeny was kind of, yeah, I think it had a lot to do with like the tribe and a lot to do with like personally.
I think all of these are great points about Teeny. I don't think she's that self-aware, because seemingly every single time there's actually a vote and she's trying her best to, you know, make inroads with others and get on the right side of the vote, she just always votes wrong every time. And it just, I mean, it makes me laugh when I'm watching, but I feel bad for her a little bit. But yeah, so I don't know that she's actually self-aware, or like I think Steven said, just doesn't have a good read on what's going on and can't discern what's the truth or not while she's out there.
it makes me laugh too, for sure. I'm hoping it makes her laugh as well, her just proficiency at being wrong on the vote. Something that Avery said, Teenie is trying to find herself, whereas Sam sort of knows what he wants. Two opposite sides of the spectrum. So I'm going to direct this question to Ashwin. You're somebody who, you know, has been well documented on this podcast, to have worked in strategic alliances, sort of been the hub of them. So what's your preference when you're trying to work with somebody? Because both Teenie and Sam, for all of their flaws, have made it to the final four with completely different approaches and completely different personalities. So what kind of approach do you prefer? Somebody who's trying to figure it out, but is sort of nice and social to everybody, or somebody who knows what he wants, but that might not necessarily mesh with what everybody else wants?
A very consulting answer I'll give is it depends. But no, I actually do think it's the latter. A person who sort of is like, oh, I'm really, really social, that's great. But at least in the strategic alliance world, like, you know, when someone's like full of it and doesn't actually know what they're trying to do, and is just sort of like faking it till you make it. In my roles that I've had, I want someone who's like pretty direct, and then I can work around that. It gives me an anchor point so I can be like, okay, I understand how I can work this situation. I prefer it when someone is more open about what they need, and then either I can help them or I can't.
To Ted's point, which maybe my favorite part of the past episode was when Sam snapped back at Teenie at Tribal Council and said, if you want information to get out there, give it to Teenie. And as great of a moment as that was, I actually thought Teenie's response to that wasn't the worst response. She said, that's how I live my life. Like, I am a social person. I give information back and forth. And that works really well in life, I think, to a point, especially if there's no malicious intent and you're just, you know, trying to build friendships. But in the game of Survivor, as Ashwin just said, it's pretty transparent when you can see what somebody's trying to do. And I don't think that I can think of a lot of players who have won the game by pretty much solely just being information messengers without really having at least had some moves on their resume. And, you know, the original point of the question was, why go after Rachel now when Andy made himself the biggest threat, which sort of leads into our next overall question, which is Avery's to answer here. So Rachel essentially had her secret choice between taking out Sam and Andy. Do you think that Andy oversharing his thoughts combined with the big move that he had just been a huge part of really was what influenced Rachel? And do you think getting Andy out of the game was the correct move for Rachel at that time?
I like this question because we debated it while it was happening. I think that Rachel should have stuck with going for Sam, because even though she realized Andy had been orchestrating these big moves and was sort of, oh, maybe I've been underestimating him and maybe everyone else has too, and he'll get more votes, I think Sam is much better at challenges and potentially making fire, as Andy is the, what did he call him? The George Costanza. Like, he just sort of can't do anything physical right. So I think Andy may have been a riskier final three pair when sort of all of his moves came to light, but I think it was less likely that he would make it to the final three. Whereas like Sam, I don't see as having made the same big moves, being part of them, but not necessarily driving them. But I think there's a better chance he'll get to the final three. I think she could have maybe secured a Sue and Teenie final three if she'd gotten rid of Sam instead of Andy.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I didn't think of it that way. And I also would just add that I was just really surprised that Andy had talked himself into getting voted out. And I do agree. I think that she probably should have stuck with Sam. I think that Andy probably doesn't have jury votes if he were to get to the end, even though I do think he had a great game and great moves along the way. I just don't know that people would respect it. And I think maybe they would feel a little bit bitter about it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Jessica. I don't think that this jury respects his gameplay. I think a different jury, he could have won. I think that he is a good player. I was happy that she chose to vote out Andy and not Sam, because I like Sam, but I don't think it was the right move for her. I think, you know, Avery, you're right. Sam is better in the competitions and he doesn't have enemies. I mean, he has Sierra on the jury, which we have kind of talked about how she's kind of the queen of Ponderosa. And so she's probably going to be a big voice at that vote. So if Sam is in final three, potentially Sierra votes for him and can sway some other people to vote for him.
Yes, I agree. I don't think jury was at all seeing what Andy was doing. And
a great point about Sierra being the jury queen. We all know the mayor of Ponderosa is typically going to sway people in a direction. And we've seen a lot of shots of her just giving bad looks. And even the comment last week about after Operation Italy, all we get from the jury is, oh, Andy flipped. And it really just feels like downplaying all that it took when it's just Andy swinging aside. Now, what Rachel does in this episode, though, is so interesting. Knowing she has an idol in her pocket, really wants to take that idol to 5. And she sort of sows the seeds of getting Andy to vote with her by telling him exactly what we're all talking about. The jury isn't seeing your game. And so at first, this almost works. We get some talk of Andy considering this, but he goes the opposite direction and says, Rachel, I'm going to vote you out, and here's why, and lays down his whole game to her. And it's in that moment that she decides to take him out. Now, I tend to agree. I think keeping Andy would have been the right play, but because this sort of snare that she had set up by feeding him this information about the jury's thoughts on him led to a completely different shift in her thoughts on him, sort of just opened the door for him maybe being a better play than Sam, because she probably caught wind that Andy was very confident sitting next to Sam, and it really sunk his game. It was great on her part, but she probably should have just stuck with the Sam at the end of the day.
The ultimate irony of all of this is that up until Operation Italy, Andy had no social agency and no influence in this game. And Operation Italy happens, and he convinces essentially the whole game to do what he wants in different ways. And the minute that he's actually accrued this social agency after that, he uses it to get himself out and turns into George Costanza again. And Rachel says it at the end when Andy gets voted out. You were very persuasive today, just not in the way that you thought. And I believe her to what Ted was just saying. I believe that he really did change her mind, which it both speaks to the power that he had in the game that maybe he knew he had, but he just didn't know how to always implement it.
So, yeah, when I was looking over these questions, I thought that the Andy vote was the right vote for her, because in my head, I think Andy played a better game than even the jury knew. And I think that if he got to the final tribal council, the jury might have been able to figure that out, because for like 2 or 3 episodes before he left, there was multiple scenes where it was like him on a hammock and just different people continuing to come up to him and talk to him. Like, people came to him. People didn't really go to Sam with plans. But I do love Avery's point that I didn't even think about, is that Sam might have been the better vote in that point, because Andy was not going to win immunity or fire making. Like, come on. So like, there was more chances to get Andy out, where I like Sam, he's shown to won an individual reward challenge. Like, he seems like he's a little more of a challenge threat than Andy. So like, I love that point. Like, maybe she should have went for Sam, because that was the best chance to get Sam. And she might have had another chance to get Andy at the next vote or at the fire making challenge.
So on the last episode, Ashwin, you were on, and this was after Operation Italy, we discussed a lot about Andy's merits if he made it to the end. At the time last week, it felt like we had sort of come to a consensus that even if the jury was a little upset with his moves, that they would have to respect it if he got to the end. But a couple points being made here that are good are that people weren't necessarily seeing what he was doing in the game. But then Steven says, but everybody's coming to him. And then you've got Sam, again, to Steven's point, who nobody's coming to him, but he's making his own path. Now, whether it's an effective path for what he wants is a different story. So Ashwin, at the end of the day, now that you've had a week to reflect and a new episode to see what happens, do you think that if Andy and Sam had gotten to the end without Rachel, who do you think's got more of a chance at that point?
I do still think it's Andy. If you say Andy and Sam make to the end, it's dependent on Genevieve going back to the jury and letting everyone know what happened with Operation Italy. Without that, then no one really gets it. But like, I don't think anyone would have any sort of perspective on how much influence Andy had. He worked everyone in a little bit, right? To everyone's point earlier, like, he was in the hammock. He was laying the seeds of social capital that he needed. I thought he played a pretty good job.
The state of Survivor today, what matters more? Somebody who had the ability to have everybody coming to him on the hammock, laying out a master plan, but burning people? Is that what people want to vote for more in the end in this current day of Survivor with these types of people? Or is it somebody who was more likable to a lot of people like Sam, but didn't have that level of game? It's a whole other question. Real quick before the end of this question, by a show of hands, if you had Andy and Sam at the end, probably with Teenie or, you know, Sue or whoever, and you had to vote for Andy or Sam, who's voting for Andy at the end of the game? Wow. Unanimous voting for Andy. I didn't see that coming. I really didn't see that coming. I thought at least a couple would vote for Sam, but we're moving on to the final question of this cycle. And this one's going to Ashwin. So let's have some fun and pretend that Sue, whose name hasn't come up once yet, wasn't a religiously loyal player in this game. So when Rachel tells Sue that she has an idol at Final Six, what would Sue's best next move for her own game have been at that point if she wasn't so loyal? And what are the hypothetical ramifications of how that plays out the rest of the cycle, assuming Genevieve still wins immunity?
I read this question and I really struggled with it just because Sue has been such like a religiously loyal player every single step of the way from, you know, Gabe to Caroline and now obviously with Rachel. I mean, I think her best chance would be to stir something up with Teenie. The only thing I could think of is Sue's not going to go stir stuff up. Like Sam, she has no relationship with Sam or Andy, a relationship with Genevieve, for her to go say anything and for it to actually trigger a response that would cause chaos. But if she goes and pokes Teenie, is like, by the way, Rachel kept this from us, then maybe something could happen. That was the only thing I could really think of. The hypotheticals, then you have to think of what kind of chaos would Teenie. So maybe, you know, Teenie goes to Genevieve and they make some sort of play to get Sam out. But I'd love to hear what other people think, because I just sort of went in circles. I like put it all out on a piece of paper and I was like, what could possibly happen here? But it's so hard because Sue has had zero game. No disrespect, Sue. We love you.
Yeah, so basically utilizing Teenie to do her bidding for her. There was one point, it was brief, and I don't know how real it was. There was one point in Final Six when Rachel was considering not using her idol and trying to do a master plan, and Sue was like, no, they're turning on you. So just from that one clip, there was a little bit of a potential crack for if Teenie had taken this information for essentially the rest of the game to turn another Operation Italy onto Rachel.
So after they came back from the challenge that Genevieve won, and Genevieve and Rachel were kind of like, you're the best player. No, you're the best player. But like in front of everyone else, Sue was getting pissed. Oh, so none of us matter. Like, it's only up to them. Like, I was like, ooh, maybe she shouldn't have told Sue about that idol. There's like a very brief moment where I was like, what would she do? But I think Sue is almost just like anti gameplay. Like, just like she probably should have been on like a much earlier season of Survivor. Like, she's sort of appalled when people like make moves, you know, which doesn't really work in these later ones. But there was a brief moment where I was like, okay, if she's mad enough at Rachel and Genevieve, who would she tell about it? Like, maybe Sam and Teenie to get like one of them out. So I also pondered all the hypotheticals. But yeah, there was one moment where I was like, oh, maybe she's going to do a little flipping herself, but did not come to pass.
It's a tough question for sure. Rachel telling Sue was a great move on Rachel's part, because if there's anybody who is almost guaranteed to not do anything with that information, it is Sue. To the chagrin of the entertainment level of the show, I think a lot of us here want Rachel to win, and that'll be a great win if it does happen. But in terms of what could have been in another big Survivor move, a little bit of a miss for what could have happened entertainment wise and strategy wise.
Like, I love this hypothetical because, like, let's say Rachel gets out at six, then like the next vote is crazy with Genevieve, Sam, and Andy in it, because I think they're all gonna like turn on each other. And I wonder if Sam would stick with being like number ones with Genevieve, or would Sam actually flip and think, huh, Genevieve has the best chance to beat me of the people left. I do think that Sue and Teenie would still be not the biggest players, and I think the other three would all want to sit next to those three at the end, even if Sue had this big move to get out Rachel. It didn't happen. Maybe season 50, all of them will come back, and that'll be the final five.
Sue, obviously, just to speak on her game a little bit, Lover, my, as you all know, original winner pick, and I still think there's a sliver of a chance, but not much of one. You know, obviously, a lot of missed opportunities in this game from this moment to not using her idol on Caroline, which I'm not going to criticize Sue for that, because that truly was the blind side of blind sides, and she didn't really have a way to see that coming. And then she has this idol that she's hidden the whole game, and she just sort of uses it like, here it is, plops it over at Final Five, which it seemed like it did surprise the jury in some sort of like impressive way to them, probably just because it's Sue, right? Who would have thought Sue was doing anything besides being Sue out there? And so that's sort of why I feel like she has a sliver of a chance if things break the exact correct way for her. But a lot of chances to better her game. And I forget who it was who said it. I think maybe Avery. She would have been a better fit on an older season in terms of her game being respected, a fiercely loyal player who says flippers never win.
Julie, I heard you don't like Flipper Fam as like the name for all of his fans. That was my idea, and I brought it up to Flip, and you didn't like it. You vetoed it. You don't like Flipper Fam?
It's okay. Okay. I can't remember what I like better.
We haven't found one that's better than that, and I like it too. But you know, maybe by the very last moment of the season, we'll decide on a hashtag for season two, because you know season two is going to be lit, right? That things are going to be crazy. And before we get into questions on the final five cycle, a quick message that I hope you enjoy. Hi, I'm Flip, the host of Flippers Always Win. We have no paid sponsorships on this podcast, so in place of an ad, I would like to talk to you about an interaction. No, a sighting. No, I don't even know what you would define it by. Here's what happened. Earlier tonight at my local supermarket, I was in the paper towels aisle, and there was a woman walking towards me and a man behind her. And the man starts talking, and you'll understand why in a second, but the woman and I just started smiling at each other because the man got a call on his phone, and this is what he said. Yeah, I'm going to start talking, and I'm going to cut you off right here. It was me. I took the chicken. He's your husband. Tell him to deal with it. I'm hanging up the phone now. Back to Survivor, the final five cycle. We're going to start it off with Steven here. So Rachel wins final five immunity, and Sam realizes that he has to tell Teenie that Genevieve's idol is fake in order to protect himself from being voted out. Teenie then, of course, confronts Genevieve, and then Genevieve admits that the idol was fake. So, two-part question. One, do you think Genevieve saying it was fake in that moment was strategic, or that she was genuinely caught off guard by Teenie? And then two, and maybe more importantly, do you think Genevieve would have survived the vote had she continued to lie to Teenie and insisted the idol was real?
I think that Genevieve did not expect the fake idol to still have power at this next vote. So I think that she really didn't have it in her plans to be able to try to like bluff her way with a fake idol through it. And I think that she really knew that with Rachel having immunity, the next and only threat to her possibly winning would be Sam. And I think that she needed to not lie to Teenie to possibly have the votes go on Sam. And I feel like she was kind of tired of yelling to Teenie. Like we saw in her, like, I guess the pizza reward, like her confessional, like with the letter from her husband or whatever, he's like, I bet you have all these friends. And she's like, I don't have any friends out here. Like, this is crazy. So I think that she was just like mentally tired of lying all the time. And like her only way forward to possibly get Sam out was being truthful. Like, I just didn't think she had a plan for like this bluff of an idol anymore. And like her best bet was to try to get Sam out at this vote if she couldn't get Rachel out.
I agree with that. What you said makes sense. And I also like think she was caught off guard, as you said. What was funny to me was that even though she did tell the truth to Teenie, Teenie was then still questioning whether or not it was actually the truth, which I guess makes sense because Genevieve had lied to her at that point so many times. But I just thought that was really interesting. So it was almost like, you know, quote unquote, Genevieve, the person was finally there instead of the player. And I felt like she just kind of laid down and accepted her fate and didn't even really try to campaign against Sam, which I thought was kind of disappointing. So I think she was caught off guard and just was tired.
To your point, Jessica, and to your point, Stephen, I'm not sure had she insisted that it was real or the fact that she told the truth, that it would have mattered for the result. It could have. But by that point, everybody is like, Genevieve can't be trusted anymore. At that point, they were going to do with her what they wanted to do with her, I think. Does anybody feel like had she, you know, Stephen, you said had she insisted it was real, it definitively would have kept her in? Does anybody else feel that way, that she made a big blunder there?
Maybe if she like really bluffed it up, but like everyone just said, she sort of just laid over and said, nah, I'm not going to fight it. Like she could have been like, of course, Sam would say that he doesn't want to get out. But like, I think she could have bluffed her way. Like, I think she had a chance to do it.
So you see Teeny there, very confused, even to the final moments about where she needs to go here. She looks to Rachel, who assures her, I genuinely believe that this is a real idol. We need to get Sam here. But they still go Sue and Rachel voting Genevieve. With Sam putting out the information that the idol is fake, two votes on Genevieve, one vote on Sam, wherever Sam and Genevieve go, hopefully just works in our favor there. Genevieve, if she continues the bluff, Sam putting out that information, it still might just go to them splitting the votes on them too, and hopefully it working out.
Yeah, I think if Genevieve had decided to continue this bluff, I think it would have created a little bit more drama between Sam and Genevieve. I don't know if at that point Genevieve was just kind of sick of the drama and she decided to be open and honest for, you know, the first kind of time with Teeny. And I think that we would have seen more conflict between Sam and Genevieve at the end if she had decided to keep going with the lie. But we really saw them not really try to go against each other at all. Sam threw out the, yeah, it's fake, and then you can believe that or not. And Genevieve was like, yeah, it is fake, you can believe that or not. And then they just kind of let them do whatever they were going to do.
It's a good way to put it. Genevieve ran out of gas playing the game that she put herself into. She didn't have to play that game. It got her really far. And I know a lot of people, Steven, I know she was your winner pick and she's a great player. I've just been a little bit more down on her game the whole time in terms of being able to win than everybody else, because she made these powerful, impactful moves somewhat single-handedly at times. But it really felt like, I don't know, the moves themselves didn't really benefit her game. And as we can tell, it took a mental toll on her. She had a really unique journey, more than probably any other player I've seen in a long time in this game, of going from, you know, Ice Queen and melting down into like, this is not who I am or want to be. And I am almost disappointed in myself. Like, she really had a real tough time near the end of the game being in the spot she was because of who she had been. And that's a pretty unique situation, I think, in Survivor. You don't see it too often. And then the second point about Teeny's vote, I saw Teeny again on Twitter say that, you know, they knew Rachel and Sue were voting and what they were doing strategic. And I believe it. There's no reason not to believe that. But it is just so funny to me that finally she has a chance to get Genevieve out after all this time. Genevieve goes, but she voted for Sam. She voted for Sam yet again. I don't care if she knew it was happening and it was all a strategy play. That is just the final facepalm in the book of Teeny's relationship with Genevieve.
I wonder if Genevieve were to come back, what kind of game she would decide to play. Do you think that she would be more open and honest and wear her heart on her sleeve and try to make more connections? Or would she stand by the, you know, I don't want to betray people like that?
Show of hands. Who thinks that she tries to come back as the Ice Queen again? And then who thinks that she is more herself? So raise her hands for Ice Queen. All right, we got Ted thinking she runs it back and then votes for emotional connecting with people. Everybody else. Ted, why still the Ice Queen?
I don't 100% believe that she's going to be cold-hearted to everybody there. I just think that what she does is she hides. She can vote out people in her alliance, do it at the right time. Just do better at hiding yourself. Don't be taking big swings super early in the merge and stuff like that. That totally sunk her game, left her with no power.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. At the very least, strategically, I think she would understand, like, you can't just like take somebody out right there just because you're feeling petty that day. Her words, not mine. We're going to move on to the penultimate question here, and this one's going to Jessica. So the theme of the final five cycle obviously was Rachel versus Genevieve. And so let's say Genevieve, hypothetically again, survives that vote by the proxy of the fake idol. Let's say they're scared of it. They actually vote out Sam. So at this point now, this fake idol would have saved her two different times. And let's say both her and Rachel somehow get to final three. One of them wins the final four immunity. The other one wins fire. They're there at the end together. Who would have the better argument to win at the end in that situation, Rachel or Genevieve?
Big question. For me personally, I think they both had good games, but I very much enjoyed watching Genevieve play. Rachel too, but I feel like I can relate to Genevieve, so I like watching her play. It was fun to see her find her way out of situations, create different strategies and plans out of seemingly thin air with Operation Italy. And when she, as you said, got petty and just wanted to change the vote to see how her influence would fall and lie. I mean, she had strong influence throughout the game, so I thought that was fun. She didn't really have many wins or advantages, so she really had to work her social game, even though I know she says she didn't really have one. I think she was probably hard on herself. I feel like people did. To me, it seemed like people liked her. That's who I would vote for. Rachel, I know people are down on her game because they say she had a lot of luck that was handed to her sometimes. But I feel like even though she got lucky with like the idol and her French fry basket, she still had to use a lot of sneaky skill to pull that idol out of the tarp. That's the same as looking around camp and trying to find the idol, in my opinion. Personally, Genevieve, I think both have a strong game to win. So it really just depends on what people prefer.
As we've talked about the season, you have from the beginning said, I feel like me and Genevieve would be friends. I feel like Genevieve, and I see it 100%. I mean, I know you're writing down stuff and like organized person. Yeah, I mean, like, I totally get it.
I'm saying Rachel because that was what I said on my first podcast appearance. Sticking to my guns, go Rachel.
I'm actually going against my podcast opinion, and I think Rachel wins because she made less enemies than Genevieve. I don't even know if jury people care about this at all, but like, isn't Genevieve a lawyer? Sometimes people don't want to give a lawyer the million, you know? I think both of them played amazing games, and you ask me tomorrow, my answer might be different. Like, both of them, it could be heads or tails, but I think Rachel just ekes out over Genevieve.
I also think the one thing that puts Rachel over the edge with Genevieve is her performance in competitions. I think that she's a comp beast. Yeah, socially, she's a little bit more likable, I think, than Genevieve. I agree with you, Jessica, that I think Genevieve's a little hard on herself socially. I don't think that she is as unlikable as she thinks she is. But I do think Rachel has the advantage there a little bit. But I think that her performance in competitions would put her over the edge with Genevieve.
And just to follow up on that, Julia, yeah, like the comp beast for sure. It's funny how once the big bad wolf Kyle's gone, someone else becomes the new comp beast. And, you know, it almost goes to show that all of the small fry out there, the Susan Teenies that are so gung-ho on making sure that the challenge beast gets removed because he's never going to win again. Well, you're opening up a door for a player to become very threatening, very fast from them then being able to come in and sweep all the challenges.
Avery, since you haven't answered, I'm going to target you with this question within the question. I think if you look at it purely on a game sense, forgetting the most important part of the game, how people feel about you, right? But if you look at it just from the game sense, I think Genevieve has got just as good, if not a better argument than Rachel. Had Genevieve gotten to this final three with Rachel, Avery, do you think she would have had the ability to own her game the way that she would have needed to win? Because in my opinion, at least, I think she would have had to completely own who she was out there. And by the time the mid-merge comes around, you see her cracking, right? Emotionally. And I'm not sure people would have wanted to hear, I had this human evolution, I'm so sorry. Like, I think they would have wanted to hear what I did and why I did it. And this is why it worked. So do you think she would have been able to make her point as a lawyer who was feeling emotional?
One would hope. I mean, job based, that she could sort of be a little cutthroat and explain herself. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like by the end, she had just gotten so sort of defeatist. There were two times where she was sort of on the block where she did the same thing and kind of just gave up. Then the way she was talking to Rachel, like, they definitely thought they were the main two threats left in the game. So maybe if she got to the final three, that would have kind of given her the confidence. But I know she thinks people saw her as kind of like not evil, but she would definitely have to like bring up her moves way earlier on pre-merge. But I think you're right that she would have kind of been like, oh, I realized I was being really mean. Then I wanted to be nice. And people would be sort of bored by that.
I feel like she'd almost have to be like a Tony and own up to how you were kind of backstabby and mean to people at times to get the jury's respect. I don't think that they would have liked this. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I learned from my mistakes. Thing. I think she would have really had to stick to her guns.
But I don't know that Tony did own up because people kept trying to be like, own up to your game. And he kept being like, I didn't do anything wrong. And I think that sort of got him the win is because people were like, wow, you're either so delusional or so good at this that you deserve it either way.
He is that delusional and it worked. So
it really depends from person to person. And before we close this question, I'm going to go back to Jessica because it seems like everybody else here feels like maybe Rachel's got the advantage. And this might be a little bit of an unfair question because this is your first season of Survivor you're watching, but you are a Big Brother super fan. We've played Sequester together, so you're familiar with how a jury works at the end. So if you're somebody who wanted Genevieve to win and you're on that jury, what question do you ask her to try to get her to say something that can convince the jury? What's the question that you would toss up to her? What one aspect of Ian do you think she definitely has over Rachel, for sure?
She had multiple times later in the season where her back seemingly was against the wall and she had to figure out a way to push the target somewhere else or come up with a plan to save herself and then her Operation Italy alliance. And I don't know that Rachel necessarily had to do that often in the game. So I would maybe try and ask her something along the lines of how she thought through plans of when she was at the bottom and needed to survive that week. Because there were many times after tribal, she would come back to camp and be like, I can't believe I am still here. And I don't feel like other people had that experience quite as much as she did.
That's a good point.
A counterpoint and in agreement, Genevieve could argue that like she made moves with like huge groups of people that she convinced to do something. And most of Rachel's game was kind of like keeping herself going ever since she merged onto the tribe. She was like moving in the shadows, like doing her own, like not that she didn't like have strong moves, but they were all like sort of for her. Whereas there were like at least like three times where Genevieve sort of like mobilized 3-4 plus people to do like what she wanted. So that actually would probably be her best argument. Cause I'm trying to think if Rachel ever sort of orchestrated a move of that type that affected other people that wasn't just sort of her own game.
When you play different games, when you put yourself in different positions, you end up doing something like that. Genevieve had the ability to do that, but she also at times put herself into that position. Whereas Rachel, you know, she had these powers. Some of them were luck. Some of them she found. She had maybe a little bit better of a social standing to begin with, so she necessarily didn't have to do that. So which way of playing is more impressive to you? That really just depends on the person. And it leads, I think, pretty well into our final topic, and this will be for Ted. So it seems like at this point, Rachel sort of has the game wrapped up. If she does make it to final three, she has to either win the final four immunity or win fire. And it feels like she's going to win. But if she does get to the final three, what is the best argument against her game? Second part of the question, if she doesn't get to final three, which of Sam, Sue, or Teeny has the best shot to win and why?
I think Avery just did a great job of touching on that there with Rachel and arguments for how she'd lose here. She played a game where she was not really above water in terms of what the consensus vote out should be until pretty late. And from there, she went on a run of being protected by gameplay mechanics instead of utilizing the social aspect of the game. So you would credit to Sam in that regard, where he was pinned as a threat from before they even all met each other at Merge. They saw his relationship with Sierra from afar and pinned him as, these two are dangerous. Sam looks extremely athletic and like a guy that could totally run the game at the end of it if his alliance is large enough and people are trusting in him to do that. So I think that in terms of how does Rachel lose if she's sitting there at the end with any assorted members with her, it really comes down to fire making. It really comes down to, does she give Sam the opportunity to win at fire? Does Sam plead a great case to the jury? I also think that, touching on what you mentioned earlier about Sue, Sam completely convincing the jury and Sue taking votes away from Rachel could be the only scenario I could come up with where if she's sitting there, she could just, Sam just ekes it out. That all being said, I think that without Rachel in the game, whoever beat her in fire is going to have a big case. Like, if it's Sue that gets put into fire against her, well, Sue has a lot of merits on her own right. And being able to take out the person that is being, you know, already pointed at as very good at fire is just another accolade for her. And as much as I think Sam has a lot to talk about, not a lot to show. So that could also hurt him in a final tribal council.
Not really being above water, Rachel, a lot of the time. And she was left behind on like 3 votes throughout the game. The Annika vote, which was pre-merge, the beginning of the merge, you know, she plays that really good shot in the dark play, but she wasn't in charge of that because obviously they're going after Gata there. She obviously got saved by Saul, which might be the luckiest thing I've ever seen happen in Survivor, but it was also followed by one of the unluckiest things that happened to her to begin with. So it's sort of a net neutral, right? And then had she not won immunity at Final Seven, which was, again, her doing that, she gets blindsided by Operation Italy. So it just goes to show she really wasn't in control of the game socially, and yet we all perceive her as this really locked to win, probably because the other three people she was with at this point also were not in control of the game socially.
So I need to like start this. I think Rachel is going to win this game, but like I do see a scenario where Sam or Sue wins this game, and it mostly has to do with the jury. So I think Sam's big argument is the only vote he was like left out of, he didn't have a vote with Sierra. He's voted everyone else on the jury off. And also Sierra, they were like number one ally. Maybe she's doing a lot of talking up Sam. And same with Sol, the two people that have been on the jury the longest, both, in my opinion, have a positive view of Sam because Sam tipped Sol off that he was going to be the vote. He did end up eventually voting for him, but that was to like he knew the numbers were going on Sol and there was nothing he could do. And then Sue, which is like one I already think Rachel's going to win, but I'm just saying like the other possibilities. Sue, I don't think she has a good shot, but her big thing is she had an idol no one really knew about, and there is people that are from her tribe that might be like pulling her way because she was loyal to them the entire time. You know, like Gabe and Caroline would both think that Sue were their number ones. And I don't think there's a single person on the jury that can say the same thing about Rachel. So like, I think that Rachel probably has played the best game overall, but she doesn't have the friends that might advocate for her on the jury. I don't have an argument with Teenie. I've been trying to think of one all day. Or maybe if she wins like fire and everyone's just like, you know what? I like Teenie a lot. That's like her best thing. But she's just been left out of too many things.
If all of Rachel, Sam, and Sue actually fall into the fire, then maybe Teenie has a shot in the final one. Outside of that, not looking great.
First of all, we've shit on Teenie so much on this podcast. I pray she never listens to a single episode. Poor girl. But another thing about Sue is the fact that she had this idol the whole time. No one knew about it except for Caroline. And the fact that she never had to use it. She was never in a position where she even felt like there was an inkling that she was going to go home. You could argue that she should have used it for Gabe or Caroline, but I think that she would be able to spin it in a way that she was comfortable throughout this whole game. She didn't really have any enemies besides Sam trying to get her out that one week. No one has ever really been going for her.
I just want to throw out there that that was the first time, 13 episodes, however many episodes, that was the first time that anybody besides me has made a Sue winner argument on any level. So good job.
I could see like Andy and Genevieve rallying around Rachel. Like I could see Andy being like game, recognizes game. I could see Genevieve being like, yeah, we saw each other at the end, just because there was so much of the edit around them talking about that like that. I could see them like making their case, but those are like the only two people who I think strongly could have it.
And just to that point, you know, we talked about how important that Final Seven vote was for Rachel's game. And once you get past that point, we're talking about who are you going to sit next to? And Andy and Genevieve being the last two people to come out of the game, the jury's probably asking them, who would you have been comfortable sitting with? And I think their immediate answer is anybody but Rachel.
Yeah, it's definitely a good point here. I mean, the edit and the game itself, it feels like, you know, Rachel's obviously the biggest threat. But when I hear everybody talking about it, let's just look at their games on paper, not assigned to who they are. You've got essentially three different styles. We're excluding Teenie from this. Sorry, Teenie. So the first style is use the powers and advantages and immunities to advance your game. Won this game by utilizing all the mechanics that are outside just the social part, right? The second style was on the right side of all but the one vote, has a lot of friends on the jury, being likable, not relying on any idols, not relying actually on any immunities, and being perceived as a threat early on and overcoming it to get to the end. And then the third style, pure loyalty and the surprise of, I found an idol. I never had to use it. You underestimated me because of my age. And I was purely loyal, and I never, ever wavered on that. So if you just remove the players from those resumes, before we end here, I want everybody to go around and just say which one they prefer. So we'll start with Julia.
Using the advantages, using all of the twists and the different mechanics of the game, I like that. I know we've kind of gone back and forth this season because we have some different views on the different idols and advantages and everything. I really like that. I think that's fun, but I also love a comp beast. Like, I, you know, that's something that I really love in a win. So those are kind of the two things that I look for when I look for a favorite player.
Mine would also be the mechanics, because I think it can come off as like luck or sort of like cheap, but you have to use them all right. You know, she could have like blown her idol way earlier. Like, she could have used the block of vote wrong. You still have to use them all in exactly the right way to do exactly what you want.
Also, using idols and advantages, Rachel had to put on a show to convince everyone, oh, I'm going home. See y'all later. So she still had to put in the work there, saving for that big move. So idols and advantages.
I echo what everybody has already said. Number one, idols and advantages.
I agree with everybody here. It's idols and advantages for me. In Rachel's case, she has been using those correctly since before everyone decided to get rid of their shot in the dark for some rice. But also, at the end of the day, know your jury, because not everyone might care for that.
I disagree with all of you. This is a social game first. I think that there are past seasons where there have been people that have used their advantages to the advantage of themselves, and they completely ignored the social aspect of the game, and they lost, because at the end of the day, it is still a human choice who you're voting for, and they can vote for whoever they want. They don't need to be like, I'm voting for the person with the best like strategy. I'm voting for the best physical player. Like, if they want to, they can just vote for whoever their best friend is, and someone that was perceived early as a threat and made their way till the end using their social connections, that can look good for them.
I love that we have a dissident right at the end. Does that mean that regardless of Rachel's there or not, you're voting for Sam, I assume, is who you're...
I don't know what I would do because I'm not on the jury. I didn't play with these people. But like, my big example was Russell. Like, I think he played an amazing strategic game. He had so much control over the game, but everyone hated him. Mm-hmm. So no one's going to give him the $1 million. And at the end of the game, this is a game where you need to vote people out and then have them vote you to earn it. So being likable is a huge part of that.
And I don't think that Rachel is Russell, but I see your point 100%. Julia, Avery, Ashwin, Jessica, Steven, Ted, thank you so much for coming on. This was awesome. Let's have a great finale. And that is a wrap on episode 13, the penultimate episode of season one of Flippers Always Win. Thank you so much to the roundtable, Julia, Avery, Ashwin, Jessica, Steven, and Ted. We are going to be back next week for the final episode of the Survivor 47 season. We're going to have another roundtable. Participants still to be determined, but I am greatly looking forward to it. Until then, I am your host, Flip, signing off. And if I had a tagline, I'd say it now.